Hendry said, but your internal line should still work. Arnold punched console buttons one after another. He heard nothing but hissing on all the lines. Looks like you've got them all. Sorry about that, Nedry said. I'll clear a couple for you at the end of the next transmission, in about 15 minutes. He yawned. Looks like a long weekend for me. I guess I'll go get that Coke now. He picked up his shoulder bag and headed for the door. Don't touch my console, okay? The door closed. What a slob, Hammond said. Yeah, Arnold said, but I guess he knows what he's doing. Along the side of the road, clouds of volcanic steam misted rainbows and the bright quartz lights. Grant said into the radio, How long does it take the ship to reach the mainland?
18 hours, Edrija said, more or less. It's pretty reliable.
He glanced at his watch.
It should arrive around 11 tomorrow morning.
Grant frowned.
You still can't talk to the control room?
Not so far.
How about Harding? Can you reach him?
No, I've tried. He may have his radio turned off.
Malcolm was shaking his head. So we're the only ones who know about the animals on the ship.
I'm trying to raise somebody, Ed Regis said. I mean, Christ, we don't want those animals on the mainland.
How long until we get back to the base?
From here, another 16-17 minutes, Ed Regis said.
At night, the whole road was illuminated by big floodlights. It felt to Grant as if they were driving through a bright green tunnel of leaves. Large raindrops spattered the windshield. Grant felt the Land Cruiser slow, then stop.
Now what?
Lex said,
I don't want to stop. Why do we stop?
And then suddenly, all the floodlights went out. The road was plunged into darkness. Lex said,
Hey!
Probably just a power outage or something, Ed Regis said. I'm sure the lights will be on in a minute.
What the hell? Arnold said, staring at his monitors.
What happened? Muldoon said. You lose power?
Yeah, but only power on the perimeter. Everything in this building's working fine. But outside in the park, the power's gone. Lights, TV cameras, everything.
His remote video monitors had gone black.
Now what about the two Land Cruisers?
Stopped somewhere around the Tyrannosaur paddock.
Well, Muldoon said, call maintenance and let's get the power back on.
Arnold picked up one of his phones and heard hissing, Nedry's computers talking to each other.
No phones, that damn Nedry.
Nedry, where the hell is he? Dennis Nedry pushed open the door marked fertilization. With the perimeter power out, all the security card locks were disarmed. Every door in the building opened with a touch. The problems with the security system were high on Jurassic Park's bug list. Nedry wondered if anybody ever imagined that it wasn't a bug, that Nedry had programmed it that way. He had built in a classic trap door. Few programmers of large computer systems could resist the temptation to leave themselves a secret entrance. Partly it was common sense. If inept users locked up the system and then called you for help, you always had a way to get in and repair the mess. And partly it was a kind of signature. Kilroy was here. And partly it was insurance for the future. Nedry was annoyed with the Jurassic Park project. Late in the schedule, InGen had demanded extensive modifications to the system, but hadn't been willing to pay for them, arguing they should be included under the original contract. Lawsuits were threatened, letters were written to Nedry's other clients implying that Nedry was unreasonable.